So Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says this. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. Now, when Mark wrote this, it's very early on in when Jesus started his ministry. It's a Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. It's a day of church. It's a day the synagogue is open for people to teach. Jesus is in the synagogue, and he's teaching people. And very early on, if you can imagine, the people in the synagogue had heard message after message after message about the Old Testament, about when the prophets, about when Moses, they heard sermon after sermon about somebody and people and stories like that. And Jesus now shows up and says, I'm going to give you a new teaching. And Jesus shows up, and what we would read, we would continue to read here, that he starts laying hands on people that are sick and they're getting healed. So they're not just hearing stories about it. They're physically witnessing, like, who is this preacher? This is a different guy than we've ever seen. And if for those that, you know, maybe were around the church environment, they looked at other religions around the day, and they would see that those kind of gods requested sacrifices. They requested, you know, there was a to-do list. There was all of this. You have to, you know, do, you know, it was something you had to do. And Jesus just showed up and said, you want to be healed? You're healed. Just the authority of his word just spoke, done, right? I mean, they were like, what is this guy? Who is this guy? And we would see that there's just continuous healing going on. Skip down to verse 27. It says, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority? He gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. You know, it's just something new. What is going on here? Verse 28, news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Like it should. If something radical started happening, people were getting radically saved, it would all of a sudden be like, you know, tweetable, you know, social media. It would just go wildfire, right? So in the same capacity, it happens here. Skipping down to verse 32 and 33. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus. After sunset, so Jesus is teaching in the synagogue all day. He's healing people all day. You know, we skipped over the part, though, where he went to Simon's mother-in-law's house just to have a meal to relax. Like, I've been working all day. I'm hungry. Let's go to the house. And this mother-in-law's sick. Oh, what's going on here? Jesus has to heal her. And I'm just, you know, be gentle, just so that she could feed the disciples and Jesus. You know, don't put too much into that. But so he's been busy all day. And now the sun is setting, and we read in verse 33 that they brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town, speaking to that, you know how it was written, the whole, not part of the town, not a little bit, like the whole town gathered at the door. Like you're thinking, like it's a mob of people. Jesus is like, I've been teaching all day. I've been healing all day. I had to just heal somebody so I could at least eat today. And now, what are you doing? The sun is going down. I'm exhausted. If you remember, Jesus is a physical body. He still gets tired too. And he wants some rest. But these people are lined up, so he begins to heal them. And it says here in verse 34, and Jesus healed, look at that closely, and Jesus healed many. It does not say all. You got to hear that. Is that false teaching? Is that bad doctrine? It says many. Jesus, the Son of God, in this town was able to heal many, but not all. Interesting, isn't that? We know that Jesus, when he went back to his hometown, it said that he had difficulty doing healing because in his hometown, you know, prophets aren't really recognized as well. And he went off and did some healing somewhere else. But here, it's the same story. Oh, that's interesting, isn't that? Oh, you got to wrestle with that. Don't ever forget that even the Son of God didn't heal everyone. Yeah, that's right. Isn't that interesting? So why? Because in all my time asking that question, the only reason that I can really find scripturally to back that up is that we live in a fallen world, don't we? We live in a broken world. We live in a world that's separated from God. And until Jesus Christ returns a second time and makes everything perfect, it is not perfect. Because if it was perfect, we wouldn't be like we are today. We wouldn't be as sick as we are today. We wouldn't experience as much pain and suffering as we do today. We live here, and sometimes we live here when we're unwell. And because you know that, it doesn't give us permission to stop praying, though, and to stop believing. We think, well, if Jesus couldn't even heal everybody, then I'm really in trouble, right? We're really hooped, and what's the bother? Why even try? But the reason we pray is that what if? Because there was many that got healed. If we just focus on the few that didn't get healed and say, well, if those people didn't get healed, then well, I'm just going to forget it. The last time I prayed for somebody, they didn't get healed, so what's the point? I don't see any results. What about the results? What about when it happens? That's why we pray. Because what if? What if this morning somebody's here right now that needs some healing? Poor Nancy. I don't mean to make you kind of throw you under the bus just for a minute. But we were leaving the other day after work, and we both like were slipping and falling, and she fell in your knees a little bit. What happens this morning? You got healed. Why not? Why not? You never know when. There's no magical formula. We just read a nice little story, and Jesus does this, A, and Jesus does B, and Jesus does C, and then somebody gets healed. There's no formula. Jesus can just show up and heal whenever and whoever and whenever he wants to. But what about those that are healed? We just never know when that's going to happen. So we continue to pray. We pray all the time. We pray and we pray and believe that God is going to heal. Let's never pray like, well, I don't know, God, maybe if you're not too busy, or just pray that it'll happen and let the results be the Lord's. That's how we pray. Don't ever give up praying. Let's get back to the story now. It says here, just a quick recap. So Jesus was teaching all day on the Sabbath in the synagogues, healing people. Jesus goes over to Simon's mother-in-law's house for dinner. He has to heal hers and they get fed. It's a long work day. People are coming late at night when the sun's going down. He's getting tired. I would be tired. Have you ever had those days where you go to work for like 10, 12 hours? And, oh my God. You get home and you're like, oh, the snow. Why, Lord, the snow? I can't even get in my driveway now. Like, you know, you wake up early in the morning, you're still shoveling. But here's what it says in verse 35. Look at this text. It's so encouraging to just see like this. If you and I are exhausted, then what does the next day look like? How do we start the next day? Verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, that means it's early. I mean, I don't know about you. So he stayed up till dark. He gets up at dark. Jesus got up and he went away on a vacation. He's like, I got to get out of here. This place is crazy. Every time I turn around, I got to get out of here. No, it says he went off to a place where he could pray, where he pressed in to God. So Jesus is tired at night. He wakes up early. He has a short sleep. Do you think that his physical body the next day, because he worked hard and he got up early, had not enough sleep that day, he was cranky? And it was a bad day for Jesus because he didn't get enough sleep. Or do you think that God would bless him for getting up early and pressing in, and God would give his physical body the rest that it needed, even though it didn't have enough sleep? Yes! That's the kind of God that we have. Spiritual rest. Spiritual, you know, oh, yes. And I'm not a morning person. I don't even drink coffee. It's so painful. Ugh. But we gotta get up. I just feel like often I work all day, go home, you shovel, you play with kids, play with Lego, love that, yeah, Lego, Monopoly, ooh, yeah, having fun. And then I finally get to bed, just one episode on Disney or Netflix, just one, Lord, before I go to bed. And then it's late, and then you go to bed, and the next day you're like, oh, I'm hurting, Lord, I'm tired this morning. But do we make space for God, or do we just say, well, I was so tired, Lord, you understand, I'm tired, right, you get it. I'm tired. Or do we press in? Oh, it's so good that we see Jesus give us that example. So even when we're tired, pray. One story. Let's look at another story. Luke chapter 5. Thank God that there's these stories in here about Jesus, about showing us the way of the times that he prayed together. So Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16, it said, well, Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go to yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. If you think of the time as when it was written, when you had leprosy, it was like you could physically see that this person is not very well. You know, they had sores on their body, and people labeled them. Now, you basically wore a dunce cap, I'm joking, but you were just labeled as unclean. You shouldn't be around anybody. Get out of town, go live off. Lots of people with leprosy lived in the graveyards. They lived out of town. They usually at the gates, so people would hopefully give them some charity. And if you came around them, they had to say out loud, I'm unclean! And if you didn't do that, you could be like, you know, just taken right out. You could be executed. So this person was unclean, but now Jesus just made them clean. And the way that they recognized that were like, okay, actually, you look normal now, but go to the priest, and the priest will double check to make sure you actually are healed. You would offer sacrifices just like it was taught in the Old Testament to do. So Jesus encouraged him to do that. Verse 15, yet the news about him spread all the more. Jesus said, shh, don't tell anybody that you got healed. And just the news of that just spread. I mean, just the reality of that, when something miraculous happens, you can't keep it quiet. News about him spread all the more so that the crowds of the people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Verse 16, but Jesus would often withdraw to lonely places and prayed. And prayed. So Jesus, in the midst of, you know, if it's like a Jesus convention or like a Jesus-a-thon or let's market Jesus now. He seems to be the coming attraction. Everyone's kind of, you know, interested in what he's doing. Let's start packaging that together. And Jesus would be like often leaving. You know, there's crowds of people. Whoa, look at the crowd we gathered, Jesus. And Jesus would be like, yeah, I'm busy. I'm going to go pray now. But Jesus, look at all the need. Look at the to-do list, Jesus. Look at the lineups of people, Jesus, that have come for the Boxing Day special for you, you know. But no, Jesus said, I'm going away. I don't need the special. I don't need to, you know, I'm going away to be with my God. Even though there's so much to work to be done, right? There's so much to be done. I don't know about your list when you get home. I have, like, I'm a sticky note guy. Like, I come to work, I have a sticky note. I have 50 sticky notes. I'm like, this is just, you go home and you're like, there's still X amount of sticky notes that never got done. There's still that list that never got done. You go home, there's another sticky note. You know, I'm just like, there's more stuff to get done at home, and it just never gets done. You'll never have enough time to accomplish everything you want to accomplish. But do you have enough time for prayer? And we see our God withdrew often. He often put that sticky note aside. Someday. But what's most important right now is my God and my relationship with my God. And I'm going to press in. The other stuff will take care of itself at some point. Wouldn't it be cool? I wonder what God would do if we were just so radically the other way. You know, if we were just like, I never get to my sticky notes because I'm with my God, you know, just hours and hours and hours. Would God bless that? I dare you to try it one day and see how it goes, eh? So no matter what we're facing, no matter what we see, we press into God and we press into what he's doing, and let's often leave the job. Don't leave the skill saw running and just leave the job, like actually, you know, just, you know. Third point here, Luke chapter 6. We'll just flip the page over, and we're going to read another story here. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Whew, that kind of reminds me of our 24-hour prayer and fast that we're going to be doing. He just prayed all night. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he had also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was also called the Zealite, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Ooh, that's hard to read. We see here that Jesus went to the mountainside and he prayed all night because of a big decision he had to make the next day, right? He had to choose the 12. I'm sure there was a big lineup of people, like the crowds are probably would press in like, Jesus is going to choose somebody. I wonder if he told them, like, tomorrow I'm choosing 12. He'd be like, oh, quick, tell everybody, you know, like, you want to get chosen to hang around with Jesus because of the things that he was doing. So we see, though, out of a big decision, Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. That has got to be a great example to us. What a blueprint of the way to live your life is that when there's a decision to be made, at your fingertips, so much information. I know that anytime I buy something, I'm like, okay, what are the star ratings on that? What are the reviews on that? I listen to other people like, okay, tell me how to build that. You know, how would I actually cut that piece of wood? Or what kind of material should I? All this information, all this research, and you should do that. But if that's all you do, then I'm concerned. Because I think, first of all, we spend all night praying before we make a big decision. And do the other reviews and those kind of things. Don't be foolish. But make sure that you spend more time praying than you do research. And that's a tough pill to swallow for me. I love information. I say, oh, yeah, books and, you know, reviews. And, you know, I want to know that I'm making a good decision. I feel like, oh, it's God's money. I want to make sure that whatever I invest in is a good investment. I don't want to be foolish with God's money. But how much time do I ask God and pray to God and say, God, give me wisdom and direction? What a wonderful example. All night long before he made that decision. Beautiful. When you have the decision to be made, make sure you pray about it. Matthew chapter 14. Jumping in verse 13. No, I wasn't going to read that. I already said that. Don't read that. Recap that. So Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 16 is a story about Jesus feeding 5,000 people plus women and children. Huge miracle. So you think about Jesus, doing crowds of people. He feeds 5,000 people plus with just like loaves and fishes. It's a huge, huge miracle. And then we read here in verse 22, what happens immediately after that busy day? Jesus, it said, he preached all day long. He fed them lunch because they were out in a community. After all of that, it says this, the very first word, it's not a therefore word, but man, it sure is close to that word, eh? It says here in verse 22, Matthew 14, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side of the lake. Well, Jesus dismissed the crowd. Oh, I just find that interesting. You know, if you've got a guest speaker in town or you've got somebody that maybe the missionary in town, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a good service, there's a nice get-together, and all of a sudden, everybody else gets let go, and the guy that's probably been the busiest is like, I'll let the people go. That's fascinating, isn't that? I think it's a good example for us as leaders. Jesus let everybody else go, and he stayed behind and released the crowd. Then we read in verse 23, it says, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. After something that was so good, he spent time in prayer by himself. I think often, now to speak to myself, I'll throw myself under the bus for fun. Often when things are going good, maybe I don't spend as much time in prayer, but I tell you when something's going wrong, oh, please, Lord, oh, have mercy, God. You know, just press in, right? And I just feel, oh, God's, you know, oh, you got to get there. But when things are going good, you're like, well, it's going okay. So, you know, I might throw up the odd prayer to God. But you know why it's going okay and going good? It's because God is blessing you. Don't ever miss that. Every day there should be something to pray about, whether it's something hard that you're facing or whether it's something to rejoice. Oh, thank you, God, for doing a miracle in my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. That's a huge miracle. That's enough to be praiseworthy of. God, you saved me. I was so broken. I was just a broken vessel. I was going to hell, and you saved me. That is just You just spend time with God thanking him for doing that. And we see God doing that. We see Jesus, the great example. God, you physically fed thousands and thousands with nothing. God, I feel like I have nothing, but you're feeding people that don't know you through my hands. Praise God. It's praiseworthy to thank God when things are going well too. Okay, last point here. I want to pull it out of two different stories. It's the same story, but two different books. So Luke chapter 11. Oh, that's the wrong way. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And then the identical story is in Matthew chapter 6. But let's just start it off in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. So you can imagine the disciples over time, right? Jesus often going away praying, Jesus going up mountainsides, Jesus just going by himself to pray. And the disciples kept seeing that. And then they asked him this. They said, when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Let's flip over now to finish the story in Matthew chapter 6. So again, same teaching here, but just from a different perspective, from Matthew's perspective now, that same story. So you can imagine disciples, you know, you're with Jesus, and you see him doing these like miracles, right? You're thinking, what? This guy's walking on water? He's like multiplying loaves and fishes. Anybody who just touches him is healed. Like, you're just like, this guy's got something up his sleeve, right? You're thinking, and he's praying. When he's praying, I want to know what he's praying. I want to know what kind of special, you know, prayer that he has. And then, so we see it from Matthew's eyes here. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It says this, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Isn't that interesting, who is unseen? You know, his disciples, the disciples actually saw Jesus. They were able to physically ask a physical being, Jesus, these kind of questions. And for you and I, we got the cross, and we've got, but we sense God, don't we? And we can hear our God. And when we get alone with our God, we know that we're in the presence of God Almighty. So God says, even if I'm unseen to you, pray to me. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God is looking down at us. He can see us. He sees what's happening. And even though it's in secret, now secret's not a good word in the Bible, and it's not good to even say around kids, but God is saying, even what you do in the closed doors or in your closets, God sees and God will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. I need to hear that constantly. When I first got saved, I thought, oh my word. You know, when in many churches, when you come to the front, we take up offering. They say, okay, would you pray now for the offering? And you come up there, you're all like, you know, you don't know what to say. You think, oh, the pastor's watching, the whole congregation is watching. And sometimes I felt growing up was like, my word, I'm praying to God. Like, this is intimidating. What am I going to say? And then sometimes you kind of get going into it, and you're thinking, don't babble with God. I mean, we see in the word of God people constantly challenging God. Say, God, I don't understand. God, this doesn't make sense to me. God, you know, why is this happening? You know, it's okay to pray like that. And don't just, you know, just try and come with some, oh, you know, terminology, you know, make it slick and fancy, like, God is not interested in that. I would rather stick a mic in somebody's face that just got saved because they're going to give me all their heart, right? They're going to have no idea what they're saying, and they're just going to be like, oh, God, I just, oh, so thankful, and just, it's all messy. But it's so genuine. It's so from the heart. They haven't had time to just meld their knowledge around, like, I got to say the right things to God, because if I say the right things to God, then he'll look up with me on favor. That is false doctrine. That is not good teaching. God is just saying, be transparent with me, wrestle with me, spend time with me. You know, don't babble on. Actually spend time and listen. Don't just, you know, I've got an, you know, just like we talked about an agenda. Okay, I got, okay, I'm going to pray tonight. You know, I've got my, oh yeah, I'm going to pray about all these things. You got your agenda. Okay, God, you know, okay, go through your list. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not wrong to do that, but make sure that on your list is an item, listen. Listen. Shh. What is he saying? What is God is up in heaven, probably looking down because he put it in his word. He's saying, people go on babbling. So I can imagine God up there going, okay, yep, I'm hearing you, I'm hearing you. Everything you're praying about actually is, I'm interested in too. Because I know all those things that you're already praying about, because I knew you were going to pray like that. But can I talk to you now? Is that okay? Can this be a two-way conversation instead of a one-way conversation? It's like the, you know, the guys that get you on the phone. That's why I don't have a phone anymore. It's my little phone right here. Hello. You know, they get you on the phone and they're like, we have this thing, or you won $1 million or something like that. I win $1 million every day. You know, it's incredible. I should be a multimillionaire, but I don't know. And then you're like, no, I'm not interested. Oh, no, hold on. Just blah, 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 you know, hold on. Yeah. And you're like, I'm not talking to you. You know, they won't get you off the phone. You just can't get away from them. And don't be like that with God. Don't be like you got a sales pitch for God. Just, you know, press in, definitely pray. God says pray about things, but then allow God to also speak to you. Listen to him. Allow him in. Okay, finishing off the story, we would read the Lord's Prayer. It says this in verse 9, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's a whole sermon around that, and I'll teach it to you later, I promise, in Sunday school. It'd be great. Yeah, awesome. Amen. So that's the Lord's Prayer, and we should... Well, I'll teach on that, I promise, at some point. But I want to look at that in the same kind of context of listening to God in this story here. This is a Sunday school story, and she's probably heard it, I promise. It'll be great. Elijah, in 1 Kings, there's a story. 1 Kings chapter 19, there's a story of a man, his name is Elijah. And he's being used by God, and God is, he's the prophet of the day. He's telling the people what God is saying. And those people, they have to run. They actually have to run after Elijah because he's lost. You know, he just left. And so it was good that Elijah showed up, and there was the false prophets, the false gods of the day. And all day long, they were praying to their gods, little g gods, you know, their, you know, false, you know, wimpy gods. All day long, praying, rah, you're just praying. They're actually physically like cutting themselves, because in their culture, in their religion, to cut themselves was kind of honoring to God. They were kind of sacrificing themselves. They're bleeding all over the place all day long. And Elijah's sitting there. He honestly, you read the story, it's a brilliant story. Elijah looks at him, are you clowns done? Are you done messing around? This has gone on for hours. And then Elijah says, you know, here's my little altar right here. You know, throw a little bit of wood on there. And then he just says, like, turn the fire hose on. Let's get this altar soaking wet. And Jesus shows up, and a big fire happens and, you know, smokes up all of Elijah's offering. And the people are like, whoa. You know, that was a powerful thing. And then Elijah's like, he's freaked out now because people want to kill him. So he runs. He ran away. He was freaked out. He thought he was all alone. Nobody cared. Self-pity. He felt so sorry for himself. He was discouraged. After such a big miracle, isn't that funny? Sometimes we go to such a high, and then we crash just as hard, right? Something comes at us, and we're like, oh, where's God? You know, I don't even know if God's alive anymore. Maybe he's checked out, or maybe I did something to offend him. And we see Elijah. He's just running. And then we see the story, and again, so Sunday school, you've heard it before, verse 11, it says this. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then in a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. Like shattering rocks? That is intense, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire was what? A gentle, still, small voice. We have to listen for that. There can be earthquakes happening in our lives. There can be snowfalls happening in our life. It feels like there's fire in my life. It just feels out of control. But God is still there, and God is still wanting to speak to you. We have to listen to him. It's a still, small voice. So the fifth point there is, like, even when you don't feel like it. Can you imagine Elijah who was running? He was, like, in a cave all by himself, all scared and timid, like, somebody's trying to kill me. Did you know somebody's trying to kill you all the time? Satan? So we could feel the same way. We say, oh, Satan's just trying to take me out. And we just go, ugh. But even in that, even though we don't feel like it, pray. Listen to God. That's what God is encouraging us to do. So the first thing we said, if you're tired, pray. For those that need healing or that are far from Christ, pray for them. When we're making big decisions, you know, pray and fast. Spend a lot of time on that. And when things are going right, things seem to be, I mean, in North America, Canada, things seem to be going pretty right over here. We got pretty easy. And things are going right, we pray. And the last thing is, even when we don't feel like it, continue to pray. If we're to kind of recap again last year and moving forward this year, I would encourage us to pray and to fast. I promise I will preach on fasting at some point real soon in the new year. I just didn't want to squish in fasting and prayer together because it's such a big topic. Man, I barely touched on prayer, let alone fasting this morning. But we're going to pray and we're going to have times where we're going to fast as well. But this coming Saturday, again, a lot of you have signed up already, so I'm thankful for that. But I want to push you a step further. I think it's easy for us as a church, many churches do this, 24-hour prayer and fast, start the year off, and, you know, it's a checkbox. Check! You know, we've started the year off right. We're doing the right things. And then, you know what will happen, actually, at the end of this coming year in 2021, I'll actually put a slideshow up and say we did a 24-hour prayer and fast. Check! You know, like, we're doing the right things right as a church. And salvations and Holy Spirit and all the baptisms. So it'll be like a checkbox. But I want us to press in more than that. I want to encourage you that if you sign up for an hour, thank you for doing that. But I want to encourage you to think about doing more than that, to pray for longer than that. And if that feels like a lot, if you're like, okay, I sign up to an hour, I'm good. The second hour or more hours, I'm not good. Use those times to listen. You don't have to say anything. Use those times to listen to God. We're actually going to put out some really long tables. And then there's going to be a piece of white paper all the way across. There's going to be markers and pens and doodads and paint, whatever you want to do. You know, you're going to put your handprint on there, it's fine. But we're going to be listening to what God is saying. So when I want to encourage you to do this. I'm trying to tell you what's going to happen during this 24-hour prayer and fast. Is when you're here for an hour or hours, as you're praying, as you're listening to God, whatever God says to you, scripture, an image, whatever it is, it's a word, it's a story, please write it on this piece of paper. It'll be here for the whole time. So we're going to have a service Saturday morning. It will be here. During the service, we're going to allow that to just happen. All those hours till Sunday morning you're going to come in, it's still going to be here. Then we're going to pull it down later, and we're going to look at it. What is the overarching theme or message that God is saying that we see consistently, that God is speaking to each one of us? Not just the pastor or the board, but what is God collectively saying to our congregation as we move forward? I am so excited to read that, actually. I just want to kind of like look at, look at that. And so we'll kind of put that all together at the end, and we'll do a bit of a recap at some point in the weeks to come. I have the sign-up sheets here. So Vicky, would you help me again? I want to explain to you that on the regular sign-up sheets here, I'll give you those two, and you get that half of the room again. So last week we signed up. It's on the back, so you would see the times and slots that maybe you've signed up for. Like, let's use this person. No, I'm not even on here. I should probably sign up too. That's terrible. But Sunday between 1:30 and then also the 3:30 slot is the only slot that's not full right now. I'm really sorry, that's a bad slot to fill in. But I want to encourage you, you find your name on there, you say, oh, there I am. I want to encourage you to sign up for another hour before or after or hours, or sign up for the whole thing, just spend the whole day here, it'd be kind of fun. But again, I want to encourage us to just go a little bit further this year. It seems like so small, a little bit further, like 1 hour out of your whole life for the whole year. I want you to sign up for hours. Let's stop being wimpy about this, like praying to my God. Let's get serious. Let's press in. Let's see what God does this year. Who knows? But let's just go after it. Let's go crazy. I need to just, now, you know me. I'm off the platform now. You know I'm not headstrong or, you know, my big ego. But I honestly, I'm coming. Saturday's my day to be with my kids, my day off. And I'm being, why am I always a little transparent with you? But I get up Saturday morning. My wife makes pancakes. I sleep in like a little baby, you know. And then I get up, and my kids and us, we're in our jammies all day. And we eat pancakes. I have tuna fish for lunch. It's delicious. We just spend the whole day just being with my family, do nothing. You know, just nothing. Just lay around and do nothing. It's our day. It's our Sabbath. It's our relaxed day. But I'm going to sacrifice that day to God. And I'm going to come here on Saturday. I'm going to come the whole day. I'm coming for 12 hours. So I'm not just asking you. I want you to know that I'm also on board with this. Like, I want to take this so seriously. I don't know what God wants to do or what he wants to say. Hey, 2019, let's be honest, it was awesome. It was a great year. But I'm not satisfied with where last year. I want to press into this year. What is God saying this year? So help the church, help us, help the all those kind of things come together and press in. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a free, it's a warm building. Okay, enough sales pitch. I just want to thank you for doing this. This is I'm very honored. I feel so blessed to have this time together as a church. Whatever happens on Saturday to Sunday, just let it happen. If there's six of you together and somebody's got a guitar, you know, play a song and worship the Lord. If you want to have some quiet time, the whole building will probably be open. You go to the fireside room, you can go relax somewhere else. You want to just read. We got books here. We'll have the library, the resource center open. If you've got Bible, we got Bibles, you know, whatever it looks like for you. However you kind of have your quiet time, you can have music, bring your iPod, listen to some Christian music, worship music. Whatever it looks like, just be open to that. This is not some kind of cookie cutter thing. We're going to have pillows up here. And you have to get on your knees and you're going to cry. You're going to press in and just press until tears of blood come out of you, you know. Like just let the Lord lead you that morning. Oh, it's going to be good. I'm so excited. And I know that there's very few of us here, but who cares? It's going to be wonderful. Amen? Okay.